You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am back from a brief hiatus. I was stuck in the backwoods of the backwoods of the backwoods of Texas. My brother and sister-in-law live on a dirt road. That's where I was. So thank you to Harrison, who is also here with me. He was joined by Gary, I believe, one show, and Dom and another. So thanks, you guys, for holding it down. Harrison, on a scale of 1-2, on a scale of Bobby Portis to Dwayne Wade reuniting with LeBron James, how happy are you to have me back?
Probably closer to the Wade one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. My face appreciates that. I would rather not get punched in the face and get a
mess. Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing. I'm like, you used to fight, so I don't really think that I could win that. So I'll go with the Wade one.
As always, today's show, the way we're going to run today's show, we're going to talk about some of the comments coming from practice about Julius Randle. He doesn't exactly sound thrilled about what his role is looking like within the rotation. And we're going to talk about whether or not their current guy who is starting at the power forward, Larry Nance Jr., is probably their worst, or whether he's their worst option at power forward, and maybe what that says about the direction of the coaching staff. And then finally, we are going to talk about some of the comments about how good Bogut looked at practice and how good Ingram and Lonzo reportedly looked at practice. We'll have a little bit of fun with that stuff. As always, find our show on on Panoply/Megaphone. TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Let's get to this, though. Harrison, why don't you update everybody on the comments that Julius Randle made after today's practice and the tone in which he made them, because that's also important.
Okay, I can do this rather quickly. So my internet stepdad, Laker Film Room, Pete Zayas, said that when Randle was asked how much he's gotten to play with, Randle said, not much. And then I guess they asked Randle if he cares if he starts, and he said, it's not my decision. And apparently he did not sound too happy.
That last bit is what's important. So first off, I think it's nonsensical that he isn't getting minutes even in practice alongside Brook Lopez. That doesn't make any sense to me. The part of the appeal or part of the explanation to make the D'Angelo Russell trade sound better was that Brook Lopez would open up Julius Randle's game and we would see some benefit in that respect.
Well, was that a Lakers explanation for it, or was that our explanation for it? Because I feel like that was, I don't know that I ever heard that directly from the Lakers. I think that always was more of a, okay, why does this make sense? Let's look at it type thing. And I think a lot of us drew the conclusion that it would make things easier from Randle, but I don't remember the Lakers ever expressly saying that. And so maybe that was just an error in judgment on all of our parts, like jumping to that conclusion that was part of the reasoning.
I don't think it's really ever an error in judgment when it's sensical or logical judgment.
No, error sounds strong. I just mean like we were wrong about why they acquired him potentially.
Well,
not that that would have been a bad reason, just that is not the reason.
All right. So I don't think it was ever the reason they got him. I think the reason they got him, or the reason that move was made, was to get rid of Mozgov's. Yeah. To get rid of Mozgov's deal. I think Brook Lopez, like, they tried to polish a turd of a trade, and they said, hey, look, we got this big, shiny Brook Lopez guy, you know.
Perennial all-star candidate Brook Lopez.
Exactly. So I think, you know, the analysis that came from it was a lot of people trying to remain as optimistic as they can, and it was sensical. I mean, you thought you want at least one of your bigs to be able to step out and shoot, and then if your other big is somebody like Randle who operates within close proximity to the basket as much as he does, then you try to start making sense for yourself. And then if these guys aren't playing with each other in practice, like, that's just, it's not a very good look for what this team is going to look like moving forward. Now, that it's extremely early in the season. The Lakers haven't even played their game. They don't even play their next game till Thursday. But as of now, you've had whatever offseason that you've had to be able to work with these guys together, and you are heading into a season that makes it kind of tough on some guys, or on coaching staffs and on organizations as a whole, to actually get practice time in. And so you would think that this early in the season, you'd be trying to get as many different looks as possible. And this would be probably the top priority in terms of front court looks that you would want to get.
I think you might be conflating your priorities with the coaching staff's priorities, and I don't think that those are necessarily the same thing. I actually kind of disagree with you on the, like, it makes sense to try everything out in practice, because mainly for this, for the reason that the Lakers right now, like, they turned over basically their whole roster. And so I think for them, they need to try and establish some continuity. And so I don't know that they really have enough practice time to play around with a bunch of different lineups in practice. I think that they're trying to play lineups that they're actually going to use in the game in practice and try and get those to gel. And then if they don't work, then they'll figure that out down the line. But I think right now they kind of have to go with that continuity in practice, because they don't have any of it carrying over from the prior season, because they traded or got rid of everybody.
I would agree, but it isn't like they're throwing out Luol Deng and Corey Brewer and Brandon Ingram at the point guard, right? This is a logical, sensical front court that you would want minutes to get played alongside each other. It's just a weird vibe the way they're handling it, and Randall not being thrilled with it isn't a great sign either, because I mean, how are you going to convince somebody to work for their spot in the rotation when it doesn't look like he's getting opportunities to do so in practice in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. I think that, I mean, his contract is probably going to motivate him. And I think that his, like, you know, just his overall, like, battling for his career sounds too strong, but just his own pride as a player is going to have to motivate him, or his desire to get back into the starting lineup.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of it, we're going to continue it kind of, sort of. We're going to take it into the next step and talk about the guy who is currently starting at the power forward position, and that is Larry Nance Jr., and we'll see where the conversation goes from there. All right, so the guy who is currently starting, of the options, the sensical options that the Lakers have to start power forward, whether it's Julius Randle, whether it's Kyle Kuzma, whether it's Larry Nance Jr., whether it's Luol Deng, whoever it might be, if they want to go super big and maybe have Bogut and Brooke Lopez out there together.
Nope.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just stop.
But I'm trying to list as many options as the Lakers have, and of their sensical ones, and that last one that I just lobbed out there wasn't sensical, but of their
you realized it mid-sentence.
Yeah. Of their sensical options, is Larry Nance Jr. the worst guy that they could have playing that role right now?
That makes it sound like it's an insult at him, but yeah. I mean, just because I don't agree with you that Deng is one of the sensical options. I don't think that they're going to even really consider starting him at power forward, because they've never shown any inclination to do that. So I think it boils down to the guys that we've talked about all preseason: Nance, Randall, and Kuzma. And I think everybody knows my stance on this. I am all in on Big Kuzma brand, and I think he is the best option for them to start there, because I like the shooting that he gives him, and I think that you just stagger the lineups and you deal with the bench and you don't do hockey subs if you start him. And then I think you bring Randall as the primary power forward / undersized center off the bench, maybe, and like maybe kind of excise some of those Bogut minutes. But the Lakers seem to feel differently about this. I mean, Nance looked better with Lopez, but if you're optimizing your offense to make sure that Larry Nance looks as good as possible, your team sucks.
I would probably agree. I would agree. Now, here's the one thing that I would be a little concerned about is We saw it last season. Now, the theory that Luke kind of implemented last year without necessarily explicitly explaining it was he wanted the starters to hang close as much as they could and then have a bench that comes in and dominates all the other benches and have that be the advantage, because in no way, shape, or form is the Lakers starting five going to be as good as most of the starting fives across the league. So, in other words, you try to mitigate your weakness as much as possible while you're building up a strength that most teams aren't going to be able to have because of the way they prioritize their minutes.
And by, like, having good starters.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's kind of, you know, when the other starters or the other team's starters go to the bench, you bring your bench in and you try to catch back up to whatever hole that your starters dug you, and you see how the game goes a long way with that. Oh, Gordon Hayward just got hurt really badly. Oh, man.
Breaking update for this not live podcast.
This looks really bad.
Okay, please describe it to us. No, don't actually do that. I think the Lakers, like, they're I kind of get what you're saying about trying to turn a weakness into a strength and just like attack an opponent weakness. And most teams have crappy benches. That's why those players aren't starting. But I don't know. I've never really totally agreed with like reorganizing your whole lineup to do that. And I know that you're not suggesting that the Lakers should do that. You're just saying that maybe they are. And I don't know. Like, I don't love that as a strategy.
So I don't love it either. And what we saw last year is as any of the starters got hurt, you started and Luke tried to maintain the same idea and strategy moving forward, that it's just it didn't work out because you already know that your starting five is going to be bad. But on top of that, you should probably know that a bad starting five that loses any piece whatsoever becomes a god-awful starting five. And it doesn't matter how good your bench is, you're not climbing back into a 20-point hole, climbing back out of a 20-point hole night in, night out. That's just asking way too much.
Especially not without Lou Williams.
Yeah. Maybe Luke is thinking that Julius Randle can offer some of the same value in different ways, obviously, than Lou Williams. But
yeah, we're going to see Julius Randle playing point guard and like just drawing fouls shamelessly.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be a completely different way, but maybe he's hoping that he steps up and leads that second unit to be somewhere close to as good as the second unit was last year. But again, I would agree with you that it just doesn't make very much sense. And if you're going to do that, if you're trying to employ that, then you still want to make that starting group as good as you possibly can. And I know that you're kind of brushing back any idea of Luol Deng as an option as a starter or period for the Lakers because of whatever reason it might be. But Luol Deng is a better four.
No, I think he's going to play off the bench. I just don't think he's going to start at power forward.
Well, but he's a better four than he's a three, right? And he's a better...
I don't disagree, but the Lakers have so many fours that can't play the three that I think he's going to end up just getting shoehorned in at the three and just be bad again.
Right. But again, I'm not talking about... So there's a difference between what we're saying, what we think will happen, and what we think is what's best for the team, right? And I think what's best for the team is to, in some way, shape, or form, send Nance a message that, like, hey, you haven't gotten good enough to just be handed this rotation spot, because in my opinion, he hasn't. And
I think very much the explanation for him getting the rotation spot is his work habits and the way that he is in practice and, like, just how hard he works, really. Like, that's what you hear from everyone around that team is how hard Nance works and how good of a guy he is. And whether or not you agree with the Lakers prioritizing that, it's something that they do prioritize. It's something that Luke Walton has talked about, that they're prioritizing, like, what they see in practice. It was a reason he gave why Kuzma wasn't starting. It was because Nance had been having really good practices. And at some point, you have to win some games and maybe play well in a game, you would think, to keep that role. But for now, I think they're very much focusing on, you know, we're talking about practice.
Well, Let's put it this way. If you're going on a blind date and your friends are setting you up on a blind date, and the first thing they say about the person that you're going on this blind date with is, hey, they're a really good person, you're probably not all that thrilled about the blind date, right? And like with Nance, sure, he is a nice guy. He seemed...
That was too soon.
Well, I'm sorry. but I, yes, Nance is a nice, he seems like a great dude. He's a great quote. He's a great locker room presence. All that good
stuff.
Great
Locked On Lakers guest.
But he sucks. Like he's not.
Wow. That is not the official opinion of Locked On Lakers. That is Anthony's opinion. I'm sorry, Larry.
All right. He, by NBA standards, he's not a good basketball player. Period. He isn't good enough defensively to make up for the fact that he doesn't shoot and he's unwilling to shoot. So you're asking a team to play 4-on-5 on one side. It's one thing when it's like an Andre Robertson you're asking a team to play 4-on-5 on offense, but he comes on defense and he's a lockdown defender with just about every non-center position on a court. But that is not Nance. He's not that. He's not.
We agree on that. And he's not that level of specialist in anything. And that's his biggest problem right now, is that he's just kind of like at a lot of things.
And so I would hope
creates master of none.
I would hope that as the season goes on and the team, because there's no reason to try to lose all these games. I would hope that as the season goes along, that the Lakers kind of wake up and say, all right, we should really take another look at the way we're handling this situation.
Yeah, I would agree.
Time for another quick break, and on the other side of it, we are going to talk more about practice. Practice. All right, we talking about practice. All the quotes about this, the only optimism or positive quotes about this team so far have come about everybody playing in practice, and I'm starting to wonder if that has to do with these guys playing against each other in practice.
Yes, I very much like this theory.
So like it's one thing when you're going up against other NBA players and you realize in the game that, oh man, our NBA players aren't as good as the other NBA players, and therefore we do not look as good to everybody else watching because our NBA players are not very good. But when the non-very good NBA players are playing against each other, then guess what starts to happen? They start
Ingram's lighting it up against the Lakers defense.
Yeah. Brandon Ingram's playing against Luol Deng at the three. Oh, wow. Look how that worked out.
He looks like Kevin Durant because Luol can't stay on his feet.
Lonzo Ball's playing against Tyler Ennis. Holy crap. He looks like an all-star. Like that's how this is all playing out. I can't help but feel. Harrison, would you roll with this as a theory?
Oh, I absolutely roll with this as a theory, because who else that, like, that's who they're playing against. They aren't playing like, and then we see it in we hear all this stuff, and some of it is just preseason optimism, and everybody does this. Like Corey Brewer was talking about them being a top 5 offensive team, top 10 defensive team. Like everybody gets excited during the preseason. They've all put on 25 pounds of muscle. They've all lost weight. They're all in the best shape of their lives. Everybody's thinking they can exceed expectations. And then the regular season hits like a freight train or like life. And you just feel down and like horrible and like everything is just failure. And that's what we just keep seeing the Lakers, not me, the Lakers keep doing.
Is there any reason then to roll with, so we were talking in the last segment about Larry Nance Jr. and why, you know, his practice presence has earned himself a spot in the starting five.
They're like, holy crap, somebody's playing defense. Yeah. He's a lockdown defender.
Right. So if that's the thinking here, so I think that the theme throughout the show has been, you're talking from a place of, this is how the Lakers are operating. You're presenting facts. I'm presenting non-facts, analysis, if you would. Yeah, more speculation, right? So if you were to ask me, or if I was to ask you, based on the way they're operating, can I really trust the quotes or the sentiment about these practices? Can I then therefore trust the coaching staff in their decision making based off of this sentiment in practice? It's hard for me to roll with that line of thinking.
The answer is sometimes.
Where would you feel most okay with believing what you're hearing about practice?
I don't know. Like, I believe that they look like – I believe that Lonzo Ball has looked good in practice and the Lakers look like a different team with him on the floor in practice. I believe that – you know, I believe that Brandon Ingram has looked good in practice. I just don't know that necessarily – I think sometimes we should take that context into effect that this stuff that they're saying about a practice is happening against other Lakers. And so that's not necessarily the biggest compliment.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and I would hope –
like that, I don't want to sit here and just like call people liars. Like,
no, I don't think it's lying.
I don't think you're. I'm sorry. I don't think that you're doing that. I just like I you know, like sometimes people fudge things a little bit, or sometimes people have reasons for saying the things that they do, and you know you can't expect 100%. Like trusting people all the time is a quick way to get let down.
Yeah. I would just say, as the season goes along and they start learning more from games than practice, I think that's when we'll start seeing the changes and the different ways of approaching the game and their strategy than we've seen so far. Because there's a reluctance to make changes based on the fact that they've seen more practice time than game time, I think, at this point still, right? So,
sure.
So if you're seeing, if your sample size is pointing in a certain direction and it's telling you things that you kind of sort of want to hear anyway, then you're going to roll with that. But as the season goes along and the sample size gets larger pointing in the other direction, the hope is that you can change course and recognize that Larry Nance Jr. should not be the starting power forward for any NBA team that is not tanking.
And at some point, like, you just say, okay, great, he's working hard. Like, I'm sure Tyler Ennis works hard. It doesn't mean he deserves to start over Lonzo Ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can work hard and just not be that great. Like, right. They're role play. Like, most role players probably work harder than every single other superstar with them just because they're so on the fringe of the league that that work ethic is what keeps them above the rest of the, like, kind of the flotsam and jetsam down there. And so, like, those are the hardest working guys on the team most of the time in practice. But that they don't start for that reason. You know, like that makes zero sense to just continue. Like maybe as you're trying to establish a culture of hard work, you reward that early on in the preseason. If that continues for a long time during the regular season, then that's when you start to doubt things. It's like, okay, well, like, great, Larry Nance Jr. put in extra time lifting weights. Like, it did not make him demonstrably better at basketball than Julius Randle or Kyle Kuzma.
Yep. I agree with every single thing you said.
Man, I got heated. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You did. That was good. I feel like that was kind of a subtweet that you're kind of telling David, I know Anthony works hard, but we need a better host in here at some point.
I would never accuse you of working hard.
But I would say it's still really early. The Lakers, by the time everybody listens to this, will have another full day before they play their first game of the season.
And we can hear about how Andrew Bogut looks like Michael Jordan in practice again.
That was one of the things that I really kind of rolled my eyes to. Andrew Bogut looks great. Well,
he's going to be a real contributor. We're going to have to find him minutes. Like, okay, I'm sure that that's not that he's just like playing, like picking apart the Lakers defense as they like lay down on the floor and like do snow angels.
What are the chances that maybe all of the tape recorders cut out at the exact same time? And Luke, the full quote was, we're going to get Andrew Bogut minutes, or we have to find Andrew Bogut minutes, and then they all cut out.
Or his cell phone. He ran out of minutes for his AT&T plan.
Well, no, I'm or I was going to say, like, before he gets hurt, right? So, like, the first,
oh, God.
the first half of the quote is like, yeah, we need to find this guy minutes. Cameras cut out before he gets hurt.
Andrew Bogut just constantly message. Like it looks like it, guys. It's really unsettling. He just constantly just screams in practice, just randomly, and so it's really starting to worry me. And we got to get him some minutes before he just like dies.
Yeah. My final note and my final shout out for the show before we sign off here is to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who may be nursing a broken nose. I just want to say props to this guy for sliding into the Timofey Mozgov role. I really appreciate him doing
Lakers
that.
Lakers are going to win their next game.
They're going to win their opener against the Clippers.
Although by that logic, then Nikola Mirotic, just like the Bulls are going to go undefeated this year.
Yeah. I would probably say so.
At I'm going to say, like, if you're looking for positives from the Lakers preseason, no one on the team has hospitalized one of their teammates. So,
yet I just can't. I can't help but have a feeling like Zubats at some point is gonna try to take on Andrew Bogut. Now I don't know who that turned.
I don't know that Zubats wins that fight.
I don't know. Yeah, it would be an epic fight though.
Yes, battle of literal titans,
actual titans. All right, that does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. As always, find it on Megaphone/Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa. I got to get better at this. iTunes, all of these places.
Where podcasts are sold.
Yeah. And if you, it's not really going to work because if you're listening now, there's a good chance.
Yeah, I ran into that on the last couple of shows. Like, if you're listening to this now, congrats on finding the show again.
Yeah.
Please help us try and find the people who didn't.
if you are finding it and you have friends and people who have not been able to, though, send us a note. Let them know where they can find it and all that good stuff.
Just walk around all day and just today tell one person about Locked On Lakers.
The first Locked On Lakers shirt that we're ever going to wear is just going to be a list of where you can find us.
Yes. And also crossed out names where Anthony messed it up.
A couple whoops in there. Yeah.
I would oopsie. Agree.